not a queen. Ooh. I ain't the one.
To this day, who he was, whence he came, nor what suggested to him his ideas. He went about proclaiming everywhere that the end of the existing society was at hand, that the world was about to experience a new birth, that the priests were vipers, the lawyers ignoramuses, and the philosophers hypocrites and liars, that master and slave were equals, that usury and everything akin to it was robbery, that proprietors and idlers would one day burn, while the poor and pure in heart would find a haven of peace. And my comment, put harsh judgment and punishment aside, and that sounds about right, don't it? Those are these times. 1800 years, come on, come on. Come on, let's go. Free the people, come on, let's go. Are we tired yet of endlessly treading the same foul, diseased muck of class that our ancestors have been trying to free us from for millennia? Are we ready to move on now that we can? Always gotta add that. We need it, Nicola. This man, the Word of God, was denounced and arrested as a public enemy by the priests and the lawyers, who well understood how to induce the people to demand his death. But this judicial murder, though it put the finishing stroke to their crimes, did not destroy the doctrinal seeds which the Word of God had sown. After his death, his original disciples traveled about in all directions, preaching what they called the good news, creating in their turn millions of missionaries, and when their task seemed to be accomplished, dying by the sword of Roman justice. This persistent agitation The war of the executioners and martyrs lasted nearly 3 centuries. And my comment, luckily today we have the internet. We can reduce the agitation and organization phase, eliminate the bloodletting to a matter of days. If we utilize the one-day global general strike, we'll get our lives back almost overnight. Continuing, this persistent agitation lasted nearly 3 centuries, ending in the conversion of what's called the Western world. Idolatry was destroyed, slavery abolished, dissolution made room for a more austere morality, and the contempt for wealth was sometimes pushed almost to privation. Society was saved, but this requires updating when we get our freedom. Society was saved by the negation of its own principles, by a revolution in its religion, and by violation of its most sacred rights. And by that, of course, he means, he's speaking of those rights of luxury and the ownership of slaves. In this revolution, the idea of justice spread to an extent that had not before been dreamed of, never to return to its original limits, although we are arguing it changed form only. Heretofore, continuing with Proudhon, heretofore justice had existed only for the masters. It commenced to exist for the slaves. Nevertheless, the new religion at that time had borne by no means all its fruits, that's for sure. There was a perceptible improvement of the public morals and a partial release from oppression, but other than that, the seed sown by the Son of Man, having fallen into idolatrous hearts, had produced nothing save innumerable discords and a quasi-poetical mythology. Instead of developing into their practical consequences. And that is what's, that is why Prince came, right? This is really deep. I mean, Proudhon, so, I mean, he's, what's so important here is he is showing us both the repetition compulsion that is in essence what class is, powers responds to it, continuously repeats itself. It's showing us power's tactics are real old, because once again, they're saying, oh, they're demonizing wealth itself, although they're backtracking a little bit. I mean, they are so jumping through the hoops of our, this time, waking up. It's a, we don't want to rest in it, but it is confirmation we're on the right track. Proudhon is giving us a heads up here, so needed, helping us have that certainty. He's really importantly prepared with Prince. The two of them together are giving us the certainty we need. To stand up to the state, who are such bullies. They're gonna just pull out all the stops to threaten and intimidate us, try to make us fear. Once again, that's always their tactic of choice, or strategy of choice, or weapon of choice, I think is better. So continuing with Proudhon. Nevertheless, the new religion had not borne by any means its fruits. There was a perceptible improvement of the public morals and a partial release from oppression, but other than that, the seed sown by the Son of Man, having fallen into idolatrous hearts, had produced nothing save innumerable discords and a quasi-poetical mythology. Instead of developing into their practical consequences the principles of morality and government taught by the Word of God, his followers busied themselves in speculations as to his birth, his origin, his person, and his actions. We cannot let this happen with Prince, by the way. It is the thought that's rising, bursting forth in my thinking right now. We cannot let this happen to Prince. We have been given this heads up by Proudhon. Let's take it to heart, please. And perhaps we should, at that, with those words, turn to our outro song, which is, or juxtaposition, which is, in a sense, how we began the show, asking that question, which so many of us have asked over the centuries. Why is it not enough? The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, it seems so simple, you know, like Rodney King. Why can't we just love each other? Why can't we just all get along, you know? I mean, how many rock anthems have that message at its heart? Well, now we know. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Until next week, peace.
Oh, yes, I am. I am the one. Don't you look no further, girl. Oh, I am the one. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, beautiful. My, 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 my.
Thank you.